Pastor Marcus Zill, Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, with a prayer for this academic year at our colleges and universities.
Almighty and most merciful God, we ask your blessing on all college students, campus ministry workers, and staff who are joined together on the universities of this land, especially those who bear your name and given the recent events of unrest in Charlottesville. Grant them peace. Fill them with high ideals, give them love and goodwill to all people, and above all, keep them faithful to you and your word, even under your Son's most holy cross, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
LCMSU connects and supports Lutheran college students as they face countless challenges to their biblical worldview, doctrine, ethics, and practices. Learn more about their work at lcms.org/lcmsu. lcms.org/lcmsu.
If James Madison or Thomas Jefferson were to come back to the United States, their first response would be, what is the Department of Health and Human Services, and what gives it the authority to tell an order of nuns that they have to provide coverage for contraception in their health care plan?
God deeply, dearly, profoundly loves every single human being. To entertain racist thoughts is to be anti-love, to be anti-God and anti-truth.
You can hear the same sort of, oh, the worst sort of sin is to judge or to be self-righteous. Well, guess what? That's what the whole world thinks is the worst sin. These are the prophets of our age, and they must be condemned.
I'm Vicky.
And I'm Ron from Ontario, Canada.
Confessional Lutherans who play in German polka bands, love issues, etc.
I have probably seen this objection a dozen times in the last couple of years on social media. Someone is a skeptic of Christianity, and they have a question they think is going to be a real stumper because they believe they've found a glaring inconsistency in the Bible. And the question usually is something like, well, Adam and Eve, we know where their children came from, but where did their grandchildren come from? In particular, someone like Cain, their surviving son, or one of them that we know about, who was his wife? With whom did he have children? Is it really that big of a stumper? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 23rd of August. We're going to be continuing our series responding to teenagers' questions about Christianity. Dr. Jan Lohmeyer will be our guest, and a little bit later we'll talk about the Reformation and secularism with Dr. Corey Moss of Hillsdale College. Dr. Jan Lohmeyer joins us for part three of our series responding to teenagers' questions about Christianity. The question today, who was Cain's wife? He teaches apologetics at Lutheran High School North in Houston, Texas, and he's adjunct professor at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Lohmeyer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be back, Todd.
Let's recap a little bit of what we've discussed already in the first two parts of our series with you.
Well, Todd, I want to make sure that everybody understands that the first question we discussed was, is there evidence of God? And, of course, we went through, and by the way, this is all going to be in the New Catechism, but we went through the nature, the creation, Romans 1, 18 to 20. We went through Psalms 119, 1, handiwork of God, the heavens declare the glory. And then also we went through reason and logic and morality, all of which point to a designer. And then, of course, intelligence demands a designer. All of these were the points we made. The second question we discussed about a month ago was, is the Bible a reliable document? Because teenagers want to know why we put our trust in the Bible as God's word. Aren't there errors in there? And then what I mentioned last month was the 12 disciples, they all stuck to their story to their death. And they did not do it for riches, that's for sure. They all died paupers. And then also the 300-plus prophecies that are fulfilled by one man from the Old Testament to the New Testament, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, all of these things. I love to discuss with atheists all of these Bible prophecies. We also mentioned the archaeological discoveries that support these findings, and also we mentioned Cyrus's cylinder. Not too many people are aware of that. And Josephus's Antiquities book that discusses this is why the Jews could talk Cyrus into letting their people go. The Cyrus cylinder, of course, was predicted 200 years before Cyrus in the book of Isaiah, and he was even mentioned by name. God gave all of that information to Isaiah. And that's all the historical documentation that's even non-Christian. All of that supports the Bible as a reliable document. But today's question, I want to make sure that everybody understands that I want to go back to that Gallup poll we talked about last month, and it was mentioned in that USA newspaper article in July. Let's just see, that Gallup poll that was taken in May of 2017 this year said that fewer than 1 in 4 Americans now believe the Bible is the actual Word of God and is to be taken literally, word for word, similar to the 26% who view it as a book of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. That article went on to say that this is the first time in Gallup's 4-decade trend that biblical literalism has not surpassed biblical skepticism. Meanwhile, about half of Americans, a proportion largely unchanged over the years, fall in the middle, saying that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, but that not all of it should be taken literally. I want to make reference to a Pew research was done back in 2014 where they came up with these statistics. 35% of Americans read the Bible once a week, and 50% of those who do it only on Sunday when they're in church. And 45% could identify the 4 Gospels. In other words, the majority of people cannot even identify the 4 Gospels. Well, millennials, which are taking over the world right now, 55% of this generation, according to Pew Research, is less likely to read or trust the Bible. That's more than half. And they label themselves as Bible skeptical. Now, where did that come from? Now, the students, Todd, that I'm teaching today, they're juniors and seniors in high school. Now, they're right on the borderline. They're either of Generation Z or they're the millennials. The Generation Z is the plurals. And they start about 2000, born in the year 2000. Well, here are the characteristics for the students that I'm teaching on the high school, the senior level. 1, they're less focused. They process information faster than any generation. 2, they're better multitaskers. They create a document on school computer, do research on phone, all while taking notes on a notepad, and then they finish in front of a TV while facing time with a friend. They are more likely to become, this is 3, more likely to become early starters, finishing school online. That makes them, 4, more entrepreneurial. 72% want to start their own business. 5, higher expectations. They expect businesses, brands, retailers to be loyal to them. And 6, they're more global. Digital device addicts is what they are. And then they're also, 7, they're more diverse, and that's why they're also called plurals. Generation Z or the 2Kers are called plurals because they're more diverse. And 8, personal freedom is very, very important to them. Now, the reason I'm giving you these statistics is because this information on the plurals is because we have to know where our teenagers are coming from and what they are thinking about and why they're thinking this way. Why are they this way? Well, they lived through the 2000 recession, Todd, and they've experienced more divorce than any other generation. And they've also seen fewer Christian examples. So their questions are going to be different than any other generation. And I might add that also according to this Gallup poll, this is the largest generation. I mean, they own the market. I think they're at over 26%. Here are some of the questions that these teenagers are going to be asking. 1, why would God demand the killing of an entire group of people? 2, why are Christians so hypocritical? 3, why are Christians so judgmental? And 4, why are Christians so intolerant? Wow. It sounds like they're all coming from Christian families but have left those Christian families. So the question I ask you, Todd, is do you understand the mindset of these plurals? Do you understand where these questions are coming from?
Dr. Jan Lohmeyer is our guest. It's part 3 of our series, Responding to Teenagers' Questions About Christianity. We'll get to the question, who is Cain's wife and why it's important to get the right answer to that question right after this.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's part three of our series responding to teenagers' questions about Christianity today. Who was Cain's wife? Dr. Jan Lohmeyer is our guest. He teaches apologetics at Lutheran High School North in Houston, Texas. Houston is the site of the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th. The speaking lineup includes Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Mark and Molly Hemingway, Rod Dreher, Dr. Scott Murray, and Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. Attendance is limited to 400. You can find out more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Dr. Lohmeyer, let's turn to the question that you have posed for us today. Who was Cain's wife? So who was Cain and where did he get his wife?
Good questions. And I understand where this is coming from because it's one of the big atheistic questions of the Bible and why we shouldn't accept the Bible according to them. First and foremost, we have to go back to law and gospel. I want to make sure that my students, this is what I teach my students in class about law and gospel. It's very important, especially here in Houston, when you understand that we have the largest Christian church in the United States, Lakewood Church down here with Joel Osteen. You have to understand law and gospel before we get into this question and any question when we go back to the Word of God, which is the truth. I like to take my students to Mark chapter 10, Todd. I like C.S. Lewis's quote, "If you want a religion to make you feel very comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity." It's why when I go to church, I like to make sure that I'm getting both law and gospel. And I tell my students, Jesus was the best teacher. He was the master teacher when it came to law and gospel. I go back to the story of the rich young ruler. And man, does he give a great lesson. If you're not using it, anybody out there that's a teacher, if you're not using this for teaching law and gospel, please consider it. Here's that story. As he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Actually, Todd, the story ends right there. And that's the essence of law and gospel. It's the first table of the law. As Luther well defines and explains in the Catechism, the first three commandments all refer to loving God. The next seven commandments, there's those numbers, three and seven, the next seven all refer to loving your neighbor. And Jesus just gave this rich young ruler the first table of the law. And then he goes on to explain the second table of the law, and he lists some of those commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. That's the first and the second table of the law. He hits him over the head with the law. He doesn't even mention the gospel. That's because the gospel is for the repentant. The law condemns us. And we need to hear the law and the gospel on a daily basis, and we definitely need it in church. C.S. Lewis was right. When I go to church, I first want to feel bad about my sins. And then I want to receive that wonderful gospel message after the repentance. Our divine service gives us all of that opportunity when we go to worship. I love it. And then we got to get to the gospel section of this. Well, disheartened by this message, the rich young ruler goes away from Jesus, and Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth and enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples are shocked because they've been taught that the rich were blessed by God. And then they ask Jesus, who then can be saved? And then we get that wonderful gospel message. And it's very important that everybody hears this. Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This is the gospel message. God does the saving. Now, it's important for us to understand this before we get in to listening to who was Cain's wife, because we have to understand just exactly what the law is. Now, did Cain have the law? Did Cain know it was wrong to murder? Actually, there was only one law back in those days. And the law was, don't eat from the tree of good and evil. Now, God comes down and talks to Cain after killing his brother. And he condemns him. He hits him with the law, and he gives him punishment. We hear the law there. Is there gospel for Cain? And yes, there is gospel for Cain. And that's why this question of who was Cain's wife becomes very important for us, too. Let me go a step further with that, and I'll come back. First of all, the atheists are telling us, and atheistic professors tell my students this in college, that if Cain married his sister, then that would be against God's law, because in Leviticus 18:9 it says you shall not have sexual relationships with your sister. So therefore, the Bible is absolutely contradicting itself. Well, that's not true. I like to tell my students in class that I want you to imagine that there's a rope tied on the ceiling on one side of our classroom, and it goes down all the way to the other side of the classroom to the floor, and it's tied taut. And then I got another rope that's tied on the opposite side of the room in the ceiling and goes from the opposite side down. So I've got an X right in front of me, in front of my students with this rope. Right in the middle is where Moses gets the Ten Commandments. Before that, we've got a generation that was absolutely wonderful. And when you think about, besides their sin, I'm talking about God's creation. Adam lived to be 930 years of age. And Abraham, if you don't know this, married his half-sister. So all of this was okay before we get to Moses. Why is that the case? Because our genes are deteriorating, and we're really not becoming better people. We're becoming worse in sin, till we get to this day. Just the opposite of what the atheists are teaching. So if I'm an atheist, I'm at that the bottom at the very beginning. I'm coming out of one cell, I'm getting better, primordial soup, and then I'm becoming to animals, and then I'm becoming to man, and today I can put man on the moon, and we can defend against all kinds of diseases. Just the opposite is the Christian view. God created man perfectly, and then he starts to deteriorate because of sin, and getting worse and worse until today we have diseases we don't even have the names for. That's the absolute truth, as Isaiah 45:18 says, "For thus the Lord, who created the heavens, he is God, who formed the earth and made it, he established it. He did not create it empty, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other." So, who was Cain's wife? The answer for the Christian is obvious. It's his sister. It has to be. It can't be an angel or an evil angel or some special alien. It can't be. It has to be from human race. There is an answer for all of this. And that's why the Scopes trial was so very important. When we started teaching evolution at a faster pace in the United States, when Clarence Darrow got up and asked that same question to William Jennings Bryan, who took the stand, and he was standing, he would answer for God, as he said. And he did not have an answer to that question. Who was Cain's wife? And that's why this question is so important to atheists. My goodness, that Scopes trial, and then that movie, Inherit the Wind, that came out as supposedly a documentary of the Scopes trial, but 90% of it is false, is where evolution becomes so fast-paced in our education system. William Jennings Bryan was asked by Clarence Darrow, I'm reading from the script right here, from the Scopes trial, did you ever discover where Cain got his wife? And William Jennings Bryan answers, no, sir, I leave that to the agnostics. You mean you've never found out, he said? I've never tried to find out. You have never tried to find? No. The Bible says he got one, so he got one. That's where we've got a problem. There is an answer for these questions, and our students need to know the answers. You know, it's all based on sin, and goes back to law and gospel. We have to understand we're sinners, and when the law is going to condemn us, the gospel is going to save us. It's a great opportunity to talk to your students with that story of the rich young ruler about just exactly what is law and gospel and how it permeates all of Scripture and how it permeates our worship services and how we learn that through Scripture, you know, we're getting worse. Our genes are deteriorating because of sin. And that's from Genesis 1 all the way to when God has to incorporate laws for us to live by, for his Israelites, his people to live by. And then he has to tell them, no, you can't marry your sister anymore because it's going to affect your generations to come with birth defects. So that's why that's become, I don't think most Christians even know that Abraham married his sister. That's in Genesis 20 if you want to know. So these are the important things we have to really discuss, along with law and gospel in every single one of these stories. You might remember that Jesus in that story, the rich young ruler, said how hard it is for a rich man. Well, how hard it is for any man. He was emphasizing rich men because the disciples were all taught that rich men were blessed by God. How hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's as hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God as it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The answer to that is it's impossible. Man cannot do it. You cannot work your way to heaven. And that's what's important for us to understand. Cain was a sinful person, committed a sinful act, was given the law. The gospel is all centered around Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to be that seed that comes from Eve. The funny thing about all this, as Luther reports in Luther's works, is that when Eve gave birth to Cain, she calls him Cain, the man, because she thinks it's the man, it's going to be the Messiah. Boy, was she shocked, because Cain becomes the first murderer. Now, when we start getting into more important, not more important, but other questions, it's all going to relate to this. For example, the image of God is another question that's going to be coming down the road. What is that, Imago Dei? What is that, and why is that important? And how it became so important, because that's going to be the next law we get. When God has Noah step off of that ark, he gives him the next law. Don't murder. Why? Because man is made in the image of God. Do you understand where these teenagers are coming from now and why this is so important, Todd?
And why it's important to have excellent answers for them as well. Dr. Jan Lohmeyer teaches apologetics at Lutheran High School North in Houston, Texas. He's adjunct professor at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Lohmeyer, I look forward to next time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about whether or not the Reformation has given us, intentionally or unintentionally, directly or indirectly, today's radical secularism. Dr. Corey Moss of Hillsdale College will be our guest.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at LutherAcademy.com. LutherAcademy.com and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Sophisticated Lutheran apologetics. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and wondered why more people from your congregation aren't there? Then check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so your circuit can prepare, promote, and present a seminar that will appeal to all the members of your congregation, provided for free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org, theclcc.org, and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
The third and final book in the premier novel series for Christian women is out. The latest in the Anthems of Zion series is titled The Harvest Rays. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Katie Schuerman. Learn more about The Harvest Rays at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Harvest Rays, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, 1-800-325-3040.